First, here are a few big jazz names you might know: Woody Herman, Bunny Berrigan, Al Jarreau, and they all got their start here in Wisconsin. A new book from the Wisconsin Historical Society Press highlights Wisconsin's place in jazz history with profiles of some of the state's great musicians and their roles in the state, national, and world jazz scenes. Kurt Dietrich is a professor of music at Ripon College. He's the author of the new book, Wisconsin Riffs, Jazz Profiles from the Heartland. He's with us now to talk about the book. Kurt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Now, you are a music performer, an instructor yourself, not originally from Wisconsin. Coming from the outside, what was it like to come here and play and teach jazz in Wisconsin?
Well, I grew up in Virginia, but I ended up going to school at Lawrence University up in Appleton. And I just happened to be there at the right time when Lawrence decided to start an official jazz program. And there were some great students there, and then they hired a wonderful instructor, John Harmon. And once some of us had been there for a while, John decided that essentially we should run away and join the circus. And we started a band and traveled for the second half of the 1970s all over the country.
And people around the world might not think of Wisconsin as a home to a lot of jazz. People in Wisconsin might not think that either. Why did you want to tell this story?
Well, I got into this book because of a failed project that I was working on, but it turned out to be a great thing for me. And so I wanted to write another jazz book. I had written a couple already, and I thought, if I write about Wisconsin people, I can write about whoever I want to. And if a certain person won't talk to me, I know somebody who knows that person, and they'll talk to me. And it just seemed like, okay, this is a project I can do. I had no idea exactly how it was going to turn out, and it turned out to be a much bigger project than I thought it was going to.
This seems like one of those stories where once you start looking, you keep seeing more and more and more, and then your biggest worry is, uh-oh, who am I leaving out?
Yes, and in fact, I have a printed list of about 50 people that I did leave out.
Wow.
But at a certain point, you know, I just had to say, this is it. If I don't stop, I'm never going to finish the book.
Well, you talk about musicians past and present, and I want to start in the past with a few names. Bunny Berrigan, born in Hilbert, Wisconsin, east central part of the state, one of the country's most legendary jazz musicians. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, his family moved when he was very young to Fox Lake, which is close to where I live up here in Ripon, Wisconsin. And early on, like so many musicians, showed skills and talent and started playing. And by the time he was a young teenager, he was playing in area bands. And this was in the 1920s, and bands were traveling already then. And we think of the 30s as being the start of the big band era, but it was already going on before that. And also, while still a teenager, he was not doing well in school because he was doing too much playing, but he moved to Madison with a relative. And, of course, the scene in Madison was much bigger. While there in Madison, his network grew, of course, and he was playing on the UW campus at parties a lot. He was playing in the theaters downtown. And a friend of his got a job with a band out in New York City, and he called Bunny and said, can you come out here and play? He did. He came back to Wisconsin briefly, but shortly thereafter he moved to New York, and he basically lived in New York the rest of his life.
I want to give a listen to one of his biggest hits. He played with a lot of bands, ended up fronting his own band. This is a bit of I Can't Get Started. The trumpet sounds of Bunny Berrigan there, and you cited critics who put him, you know, mentioned him in the same sentence with Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong spoke very favorably of him. That's about as good as you get in that era, right?
That is about as good as you get, yes.
And he sadly passed away at an early age, had a long time problem with alcoholism. That's sadly a common story in the jazz and music world, period. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, with him, it's hard to say. And, of course, now we look at alcoholism in a little different way than people did back then. But it was evident from early on that he had a problem with alcoholism, and he played with some of the great bands and especially made some very famous solo recordings along with Benny Goodman's band and with Glenn Miller's band in the 30s and 40s. But he didn't stay with those bands in part because he had something else in mind probably, but chances are that he wasn't too reliable either. Because of that and because of his alcoholism, and when he finally got his own band, because that's what big stars did back in the 30s, is somebody would say, well, this guy is a fantastic trumpet player. He needs a band, too, just like, let's say, Gene Krupa, the drummer, left Benny Goodman to start his own band. But Berrigan was a terrible businessman, and he had no real interest in that side of things. And he really didn't seem to be the kind of person who paid a whole lot of attention to details, itineraries, directions, those sorts of things. So unfortunately, yes, while the record that you were just playing became a huge hit for him after he started his own band, his own band was not a success, largely because of his own personal characteristics, alcoholism on the one side, and again, his lack of interest in the business side of things as well.
Talking to Kurt Dietrich, his new book is Wisconsin Riffs, Jazz Profiles from the Heartland. Want to give a listen to another big name from Wisconsin, Woody Herman, one of his hits, and I actually played this in a jazz ensemble back in my high school years, Woodchopper's Ball. And Woody Herman, another musician who made his name and ended up forming his own band. Can you talk a little about Woody Herman's Wisconsin roots?
Yeah, well, he grew up in Milwaukee, and by the time he was a teenager, he was performing at that time in shows that we would probably refer to as vaudeville. He was known as the Boy Wonder, and he played saxophone, he sang, he danced, he did the whole bit. In his late teens, he also joined a touring band, and eventually he ended up with a band of Isham Jones, who is known today more as a songwriter than ever a band leader, but Isham Jones didn't need the money anymore, so he decided, I'm done with this band. And so he said, I'm out of here. The other members of the band said, we have a really good band, we need to keep it together. Woody was only 23 years old, but he probably had more experience in show business than anybody else in the band at that time. So while everyone owned an equal share of the band, he was the de facto leader of the band. And as people left the band, which happened all the time during the swing era, Woody would buy up their share until eventually it was the Woody Herman Band. And the track that you just played was the first big hit that Woody Herman's band had in 1939. The thing about Woody, though, is that he never quit. He continued to lead a band right up until very close to his death in 1987. And while a lot of people think of the Woody Herman band as that band from the 30s or maybe the 40s, his band continued to change. It continued to bring in great new players over every decade. And when I was in high school in the late 1960s, I heard a brand new recording by the Woody Herman Band, and I just thought this was unbelievable. And it had very little to do with the swing era. later on, when I was a traveling musician in the 1970s, the band I was with was booked by the same agency that booked Woody's band, and so occasionally we would open for Woody's band or share bills with Woody's band. Still great players in the band. Woody was still carrying on, and as I said, he continued to right up until his death. 50 years he was a band leader.
Talking to Kurt Dietrich, professor of music at Ripon College, author of the new book, Wisconsin Riffs, Jazz Profiles from the Heartland. We're meeting a few of the many jazz musicians he writes about from the state or involved with the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a jazz fan here in Wisconsin? Are you a fan of Wisconsin jazz? Do you have a favorite local musician or venue or a question for our guest about the state's jazz scene, past or present? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. More coming up here on Central Time. We pick up our conversation about the history of jazz in Wisconsin with Kurt Dietrich, author of the new book, Wisconsin Riffs. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite local or state jazz musician, a favorite venue where you've seen jazz over the years, past or present? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go to our callers, I want to visit, fast forward a little bit to, this is close to your heart, actually, Al Jarreau. Kurt, a big connection with Ripon College. Can you talk a little bit about his jazz career? He's really well known as a pop singer, very big jazz singer, too.
Yeah, well, that was my connection with Al Jarreau, was through Ripon College. I've been teaching here for 37 years now, but Al Jarreau was a student at Ripon College. He graduated in 1962. He had grown up in Milwaukee, and interestingly enough, he was introduced to Ripon College because the model government event every year that the American Legion puts on, Badger Boys State, is at Ripon College every summer. And Al Jarreau was a representative from his high school in Milwaukee, Lincoln High. And he came up here, and during the week that he was here in the summer, right after his, I guess it was between his junior and senior years in high school, he was elected governor of Badger Boys State. Well, he got a scholarship to come to Ripon College, and so he did. He was a psychology major. He did a lot of music while he was on campus. He among other things, too, they had a quartet that was the kind of quartet you would find in a lot of places at that time, the early 60s. I don't want to say it was a doo-wop quartet, but they did a lot of that kind of music. But Al also was chosen to sing at the Miss Wisconsin pageant around that time, which I think must have been amazing for an African-American at that time in Wisconsin. But yes, he had his career here. He then went on to graduate school at the University of Iowa in psychology. He moved to the West Coast, and he started singing in clubs in the San Francisco Bay Area. And it's sort of like the rest is history after that. He was discovered. He started making records and became a huge star. You mentioned being a pop singer. Well, it's interesting to me that while I think of at least Al Jarreau's early music as definitely being jazz, I think jazz musicians tend to sometimes think of Al as a pop singer, but I think fans of pop music, a lot of them think, oh, Al Jarreau, he's a jazz guy, isn't he?
Well, here's Al Jarreau and Take Five, the Dave Brubeck classic, a little of a live performance here.
Just have him take a little time out with me. Oh, just take five, just take five. Just happy, busy day and take the time out to see that I'm alive, I'm alive. Although I'm going out on my way just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. It's a pantomime and all the time. Still, I know all eyes are for me.
Sounds like a jazz singer to me. Kurt, I want to go to our callers now. We have many of them. Let's go to Nancy with us on the line in Wausau. Nancy, hi.
Hi there.
What do you want to tell us about Nancy?
I was so excited when I tuned in and I heard you guys talking about Bunny Berrigan. When my mother had passed away, I had grabbed all these old jazz albums she had, and they were 78s. They came in like a book style. And Bunny Berrigan, she has several albums of his. And I had to dig out an old record player to listen to them. But I was just fascinated at his style of playing. And I'm a huge follower of jazz rock. I follow the band Chicago to this day and their arrangements, their early arrangements. So I just wanted to say thanks for mentioning Bunny Berrigan.
Nancy, thanks. And Kurt, Wisconsin does remember Bunny Berrigan. There's still performances kind of in his honor in the state, right?
Right. As a matter of fact, this weekend is the weekend that for years and years they have had the Bunny Berrigan Jazz Jubilee in Little Fox Lake, which was his hometown. And so for the weekend coming up starting on Friday night, there will be lots of jazz music in Bunny's honor in Fox Lake. And one of the performers there every year, he doesn't trade on this at all in his professional life, but is Bunny Berrigan's nephew, Kay Berrigan, who is an outstanding jazz trumpet player and has been for decades down in Milwaukee.
Nancy, thanks a lot for sharing that story. We'll go next to Tim with us in Neenah. Tim, hi.
Hi, I'm calling. I plan on picking up the book, and I think the professor is being very humble in not mentioning his group Matrix, which at the time was reviewed on the West Coast by the great Leonard Feather as one of the best bands to come around way ahead of its time. So kudos to the professor, and thank you for sharing, and I plan on picking up the book.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. Kurt, that was your own band, Matrix, one of two different bands named Matrix, you write. Talk a little bit about this. This was a kind of a jazz rock outfit.
Right, and as I mentioned earlier, when I was at school at Lawrence, there was this core of really fine musicians, and John Harmon came there to teach jazz. I went off to graduate school for a year, but then I got a call saying, we're starting a band, and you're going to be in it. And so we started the band, and we, in fact, played a lot of music of the woman on the previous call talked about Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, that all that music was happening then. But eventually we were doing all our own music, and we were discovered in a kind of dive bar down in the Chicago area by a big agent. And so we ended up touring for 5.5 years. We played at the Monterey Jazz Fest, at the Newport Festival in New York, at the Telluride Jazz Festival, and so forth. So, yeah, it was a pretty exciting time.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Kurt Dietrich, author of Wisconsin Riffs, Jazz Profiles from the Heartland. Back to our callers now. Mark is on the line in Neenah. Mark, hi.
Hi. Can't wait to get the new book. And I wanted to ask if Kurt had some favorite hole-in-the-wall dive jazz clubs or jazz bars around Wisconsin he likes to go to.
Hole-in-the-wall jazz clubs. Kurt, you got any suggestions?
Well, jazz isn't played in clubs all that much anymore. And when it is, fortunately, they're not usually holes in the wall. The jazz club for, how can I put it, not traditional, but sort of standard jazz, post-bop, in Milwaukee is the Jazz Estate, and the Jazz Estate has been running for years and is a club that has had kind of a resurgence just in the last few years. But I was fortunate enough to give a talk on my book down there a couple of weeks ago. They had live music, and they have live music, live jazz there practically every night. In Madison, it kind of changes for some time. The Cardinal Bar was the place. That just changed ownership about a year ago, I guess. The North Street Cafe now is having quite a bit of jazz going on, and that's definitely a good spot. And again, it keeps changing. There were a couple of places on State Street that were having jazz but have changed. It's really not easy to hear live jazz in Wisconsin, except in Madison and Milwaukee. And I'm sure there are places in Eau Claire also. I'm not nearly as familiar with the other side of the state. But I strongly recommend the Estate in Milwaukee.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. Kurt, as we wrap up, would you like to see more venues around Wisconsin outside of Madison, Milwaukee start to pick up the mantle and host that jazz show, big or small?
Oh, absolutely. And I am leaving some things out. I mean, there are people up here. I'm just south of the Fox Valley. And there are places in Oshkosh. There's a restaurant called Beckett's that has jazz from time to time on a fairly regular basis. And I know in Appleton that some guys are finding some work up there. Sometimes maybe it's just a duo in a bar, piano and bass, for example. But, yeah, just keep your eyes open. And, of course, the big thing is, people need to go out and support the musicians.
Do you feel like, just briefly, we're just about out of time, do you feel like there is enough of a fan base here in Wisconsin?
I would like to think so. And I think that maybe there is because practically every public school in the state now has a jazz band. And if the students that go through those programs, you had two callers from Nina, they have a really good program there at Nina High School, for example. If the students who go through those programs can just be encouraged to get off your devices, get off your machines, and go out and hear live music, there's nothing like it.
Kurt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks again for having me.
That's Kurt Dietrich, professor of music at Ripon College. He was with us to talk about his new book, Wisconsin Riffs, Jazz Profiles from the Heartland. We just talked about a few of the musicians he profiles. There are many, many more in the book. And there's still time for you to share maybe your favorites or your own experience as a jazz fan or jazz musician yourself. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.